Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. And I ask now, Father, Your anointing upon the Word as it goes forth today. Father, that it would reach out and touch hearts and lives. Father, that are in doubt and in turmoil, Father. Father, I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In the early 60s, there was a song titled, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" And it was recorded by a number of famous groups, such as Peter, Paul, and Mary, the Kingston Trio, Joan Baez, and others. And I remember listening to that song a number of times on the radio as I'd be driving down the road or wherever. And I was reminded of these lyrics to that song as I prepared this message. In fact, God's been laying this message on my heart for a couple of weeks. And I begin to think about some of these things because the title of today's message is "Where Have All the Babies Gone?" Where have all the babies gone? You know, some of the happiest times of my life were when I found out I was going to be a father. And I was so excited when the time came that we went to the hospital and they took us up to the delivery room area. As we prepared to go in and watch our daughter, we didn't know at that time if it was going to be a boy or a girl, but you know, that's a while back. And we watched as the baby was born and the doctor declared it's a girl. And we picked out names and so on, and we were all prepared for that. And then after the baby was born, they took the baby away to do some examinations and stuff and took my wife to a room where she could rest. And I went downstairs because we were living in Germany at the time. And I went downstairs to where the telegraph office was and sent a telegram to her parents and to my parents. Just these words: "This is Melody. I'm here." And they knew what it was going to mean when I sent that telegram to them. And I'm sure they were excited because it was my parents' first grandchild. And for my wife, it was her parents' third grandchild. But I'm sure they were excited as well. And later that morning, as I left the hospital to go home to get a little sleep, I remember praying to God as I drove back to the house. I cried tears of joy. And I was asking God to help me to be the best parent that I could be. Now, I have to admit that babies have always had a soft spot in my heart. And recently, I had been following a prayer request, and it's more or less updates and stuff on a baby by the name of Grace. And I was following these updates on a church website that, or Facebook page rather, and for several months. And Grace, I wasn't sure what type of handicap she had, what was wrong with her, but she wasn't doing well. In fact, I read up on it later and found out that this was something that really she probably should never have lived more than a few days. They never expected her to go home from the hospital, actually, the first time. Well, baby Grace died about a week ago at about 15 months of age. And as I'm reading this story, The mother, who had desired to remain anonymous, said as she was holding baby Grace, as baby Grace took her last breath, and I'll tell you, that just downright broke my heart when I read that part. I was holding her as she took her last breath. I commented back to the update, and I told the mother, I never knew baby Grace, but I want you to think about this. It was from your arms to God's arms. I still get a little teary, I think, when I think about it, even though it's been more than a week ago, or roughly that amount of time. But babies are something special. Here's what God's Word really talks about us. It talks about us not only as babies, but as adults. Gives many things about us. For example, Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 through 16 says, For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God, you knew me before my body even existed. You knew me through all the steps of creation of my physical body, my soul, my spirit. You knew all of this. I read it, would like to read it again to you from the New King James Version because it uses a little more modern English. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knoweth very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being yet unformed, and in your book they are all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Prophet Jeremiah went on to write in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Think about this. Before I formed thee in the belly or in the womb, I knew who you were. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. The apostle John writes in John chapter 10, verses 2 through 3, and I'd like to read this particular verse from the Complete Jewish Bible. But the one who goes in through the gate is the sheep's own shepherd. But this the one the gatekeeper admits, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep, each one by name, and leads them out. Now you might say, what does that have to do with being formed in the womb? God knows you by name. He knows who you are. Before you were even born, He know your name. So God knows you before you were formed in the womb. He's kept records of you, even knows you by name. He knows all about you. You know, a lot of people, they sneak around sometimes and they do things, and they don't want anybody to know what they're doing. But remember this, God knows. If He knew you before you were born, if He knew you while you were still in the womb, if He knows all of these things about you, He knows what you're doing. Even as we speak, He knows. An illustration of knowing by name is given in the book of Job, because in Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." Now I know the regular King James says eschewed, and the modern day word for that is shunned. God, he shunned evil, he feared God. Then in chapter 2, verse 3, and Satan has appeared before God with some of the other angels here, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" Because Satan had been saying, okay, yeah, well, if you'll just let me do this, I'll get Job to curse you. I'll get Job to turn his back on you. But God says, I know Job. Job will hold out no matter what you do. And as you go on to read the story in the book of Job, you find out that God said, okay, you do whatever you want to do. Just don't take his life, because I've got confidence Job's going to hang in there. Now I want you to think about this. How did you start out? Well, most likely you started out as a desire between your parents to have a child. And then you became a baby in the womb. Something so small that it would take a microscope to be able to see it. And then that seed that's been planted begins to grow and develop. And over a period of roughly 9 months, that child, that baby develops until the time comes it's ready to be born. And you know, we today have so many advantages that from the time that a baby is in its first couple of weeks of development almost anymore, we can determine many things about that child. And we have equipment where we can actually watch that baby in the womb. And we begin to see it develop and all of these things. We know now whether it's going to be a boy or a girl before it's ever born. We know many things about that child that we didn't used to know. And I think it's exciting times that we could do that. As that baby begins to develop, and then it's born, and it's a newborn. It's helpless. It can't do a thing for itself. I mean, it can kind of give you a rolling eye stare a little, and it's not quite sure what's going on. But then as days go by, it becomes more aware and begins to develop even more and more and more. And finally it begins to look at you, and it looks at mama, and it looks at daddy, and it smiles when it sees them. Then it finally starts to say a few words, da-da, mama, something like that maybe. And oh, you get so excited when that happens. Then it becomes a toddler. And it goes through various stages till it reaches adulthood. And I was thinking, that's kind of the way we are as Christians too. We're a newborn when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We go through stages of development. We go through learning stages. And yeah, sometimes we make mistakes as a newborn Christian. But God's there with us if we'll just hold on. Let Him guide us. You know, when you're teaching a baby to walk, you don't set it out there and stand it on its feet and turn loose of it and say, go on. We're there to help it. We're there to guide it. You're important to God. God knows you through every stage. Think about that. All the stages of your life, from before you're even conceived, God knows who you are. All the way up to the time that you breathe that last breath and you go into eternity, God knows who you are. He knows you through every stage of your development, of your life, of what you're going through. And I want you to think back, and I know it's kind of a popular thing anymore to study our ancestry. And so many people want to be related to somebody famous, or somebody wealthy, or somebody historical. And, I jokingly sometimes tell them, I've traced my ancestry and goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Well, basically that's the case for every person on planet Earth. It goes back that far. And because we all started out after God formed Adam and created Eve from the rib that he took out of Adam's side. But God knows you through all of these stages. And so think about your lineage a little bit. And I want you to think about this. Let's say your grandmother. Think about your grandmother for a moment. Suppose she had decided not to have any children. And that child could have been your mother or your father. Now I'm going to touch on a subject that's taboo among a lot of people. What if she decided to abort that child? Well, first of all, once that decision was made, you would cease to exist. You would never exist. And if you have children, those children would have never existed. In fact, when you stop to think about it, that decision could literally, physically change history. I want you to think about that. It could have even changed history. In fact, some countries have practiced female infanticide to the point the population is skewed to a heavy male dominance, resulting in a low birth rate. And eventually, if they continue, it will destroy their country. It will destroy their people. But did you know? We hear a lot of talk about it. And let's use the thing that people don't want to talk about. Abortion. But did you know that there's a day coming when all the babies will be gone? Did you ever think about that? If you're a Christian, have you ever thought about that? There's going to be a day here on planet Earth when all the babies will be gone. All the toddlers will be gone. I'm talking about the ones developing in the womb. I'm talking about the infants. I'm talking about the toddlers. I'm talking about the small children. And I want you to think, as a parent, how do you think this would make you feel? I mean, let's look at it this way. You, the mom-to-be, you're expecting the birth of your first child. You picked out a name, and you've gathered the necessities to bring that child home after it's born. And then suddenly, without warning, you're no longer pregnant. That baby's gone. Mom, you're walking down the street. You're holding that sweet little baby in your arms. You're protecting it. You're going to take care of it. You love it. And you're looking at it, smiling back at you. Smile at it. It smiles back at you. And then faster than a flash of lightning. That baby's no longer there. Yeah, the blanket you had it wrapped in's there. The clothes it was wearing is there. Its diaper's there. But it's gone. Can you imagine the hysterical feelings and emotions? Probably the blood-curdling screams that will be let out by moms whose babies have disappeared from their arms. Dad, don't want to leave you out. You're out in the driveway. You're playing a game with your toddler, your young child. You're looking straight at him as you're playing this game. And suddenly, right in front of your eyes, he's there. And in that split second, that flash of lightning, he's gone. Well, his clothes are there. The toy he had in his hand is there. But he's gone. What happened? The panic that sets in. Maybe some of you have had an experience where you've lost a child. Maybe that child has died or whatever. Or maybe you just got lost. I remember back when our oldest daughter was young, we went shopping one time, and she was probably about 2 years old, maybe. And I walked down one aisle, and my wife walked down another aisle in the store, and I thought she went with my wife. My wife thought she went with me. We scoured that store. We asked questions. We were panicking. And we were asking everybody going out the door, have you seen this little girl? If somebody said, yeah, I saw her pushing a baby stroller around over in a particular department. We went over there and found her, but it was panic. I know what it feels like. Even though we found her within 10, 15 minutes, it was panic. And like I said, maybe some of you have lost a child. I'm talking about the child has passed away. Or maybe was stillborn or miscarried. And I know that that too is a heart-wrenching experience. My youngest daughter had a miscarriage probably 25 years ago, maybe more. It would have been my first grandchild. And I'll tell you, I had to get in the car and go off out into an area by myself so I could sit and weep. My wife and I gave that child that we would never see here on earth a nickname, Taddy. Taddy is short for tadpole. And I still think about that child today that I have never seen. In my last conversation a number of years ago with my mother as she was dying. And she passed away 2 days after my second grandchild was born. And I told her, when you get to heaven, one of the first things I want you to do is tell Taddy we love him. Of course, I guess we were assuming that Taddy would be a boy, but I still had that feeling, even though it was years later. I still think about it. So I have an idea what some of you parents who've lost children go through. But my scenario that we went over just didn't happen just to you, where you're holding your child and it disappears. You're playing with your child out in the yard and it disappears. You're pregnant 1 minute, and in a split second, you're no longer pregnant. Doesn't happen just to you. It happened to every child or to every parent on planet Earth. There's an old children's song that we used to sing in church. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. I looked it up once, and actually the way it was originally written was red or yellow, brown, excuse me, red or yellow, black, brown, white. Well, it doesn't matter how it is. There's no discrimination there. Every baby, no matter what its color, no matter what its ethnicity, is gone. Every toddler is gone. Small children, gone. Their clothes are there. The toy they're playing with is gone. It there is there, but the child is gone. But then you realize, as you begin to look around, some of the adults are gone too. What's happened? And I'm telling you, the scenes I've just described are not from my fictional imagination. They are going to happen. The only question is, when will this nightmare for those who are still living on planet Earth happen? It's going to happen. The question is when? When are all the babies going to disappear? Now, it's not going to be some alien abduction as some of the fictional and fake news that we have today try to convince you took place. It's not going to be some flying saucer that abducted all the babies. No. It's going to be an event that the Bible spoke of 2,000 years ago. And if you go back into the Old Testament, it even really speaks about it even further back than that. It's an event that Christians call the rapture. The rapture, a word that's not actually found in the English Bible, but it comes from a Latin word. And that Latin word means to be caught away, to snatched away. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18, which says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And I want to stress here for some of you that don't understand asleep here. You're thinking they're asleep in the grave. The word asleep, the Greek word, can also be translated dead. Just simply the same. So it doesn't prevent them which are dead. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, snatched up, caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," and I know the twinkling of an eye is debatable what the speed is, because I don't think anyone actually knows, but it's fast. It's fast. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Earlier I said, the only question is, when will this nightmare for those still living on planet Earth happen? For the unborn, the babies, the small children, along with those who've given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, this will not be a nightmare. It will be a great joy. It will be the beginning, the greatest event that ever happened to them. But for those that are still here, from teenagers, today's age, slightly younger than teenagers, on up to adults, those who are not able to make decisions for themselves. They're going to be gone. It's going to be the greatest event in their life. But all the rest are going to be left here to experience the nightmare that takes place. If you read Matthew chapter 24, and just recently we preached a message about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we described some of the events in Matthew 24 in the last couple of weeks. Some of the events that are described are taking place now in our lifetime. You can look around and you can see some of these happening. And they're going to get even worse and worse and worse. They'll increase. We're seeing pestilence. We're seeing famine. We're seeing disease spread. We're seeing diseases that have not been seen in over 1,000 years cropping up in some of the most developed countries in the world. It shouldn't be happening, but it is. The book of Revelations goes on to give more of what is to come after the event we just described, the rapture of the church, takes place. Maybe you've started thinking about this and you ask the question, well, how can I go with the babies so I don't have to go through this stuff? How can I be with him, them, and how can I be with God? And I want to point out to you, by the way, that the price for you to be able to do this has already been paid. The ticket has been bought. The question is, have you accepted the ticket yet? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You were born a sinner, and only the grace of God can change that. You see, Jesus died on the cross at Calvary to pay for your sins. He bought your ticket to participate in the rapture on the cross of Calvary. But it's up to you to accept that ticket and grab hold of that gift that he has set aside for you. It's your decision. You have to make the choice. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." There's no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in Allah. There's no salvation in Confucius. There's no salvation in any of these other religions that are prevalent in the world today and in the past and in the future. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He, Jesus, is the only way. He went ahead and said in Revelations 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." He's knocking at some of his door today. All you've got to do is say, "Jesus, come in, come in, come in." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I've read these scriptures to you. We have more of them on our website under the salvation page. But today, if you're listening to me and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the events that I've described are going to happen sooner than later. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe it's an event that's going to take place in the lifetime of the majority who are listening to me today. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to accept him now, because time is running out. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you asked him to come into your heart? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, won't you do it right now? It's easy. It's just simply praying a prayer with your heart. a heartfelt prayer, a prayer that's coming from your heart, where you mean what you say, not repeating it just because somebody said to repeat it, but something like, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. And I realize if these events happened today, that I'd still be standing here. But Jesus, I want to go with the babies. I want to be where they go. I want to be where you're at. I want to miss all this stuff. I want to be forever in your presence. Come into my heart. I understand that you paid the price for my admission on the cross of Calvary when you shed your blood for me. You paid the ultimate price. You gave your life for me that I could be saved. I now accept what you did. I accept it with all of my heart, with all my life, with all my being. Come in today. And if you prayed that prayer and you truly meant it from the depths of your heart, then Jesus has come into your heart to live. And we welcome you into the family of God. And even though we will not meet here, we'll meet someday inside heaven's gates. If you have more questions about salvation, as I said, on our website, we have information about it. You can write to us. You can email us. The announcer is going to give you the information. Father, I thank you today for all that you've done. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.